Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out at Total Tutor on Twitter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google+, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And I'm excited to welcome the program celebrity Alexander Ludwig, who played Cato in The Hunger Games, and also he is promoting history's hit drama series Vikings. Alexander, thanks for calling. How are you?
What's up, Neil? No, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Alexander. Having the role in The Hunger Games, it must be an awesome feeling always to know, with the fans of The Hunger Games, to know you'll always be known as Cato to them, for probably till the day you die, with how amazing that series is, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really great to have been a part of something like that. And I was just saying to a friend of mine, it was so cool, is that I live next to an all-girls school in Dalkey, so it's kind of a countryside town, and it's so nice that all the fans who would have necessarily known me from The Hunger Games have come up to me and said how much they love Vikings. So it's so nice to see that they've transitioned, because that, you know, it's bittersweet. You know, it's also the worry as an actress. You don't ever want to be just stuck in as one role. And it was so nice that, in a way, that's kind of why I was, you know, I'm a little happy as well that I died in the first one, because I don't ever want to be typecast in any kind of role. So it's great that it continued. Movie had such a big impact on people, and it's so great to see that.
And just think, Alexander, when you're 80 years old, you'll be promoting it at different events. So that's the great thing about some of these. They live on forever. That's it, but your career continues to roll. And we're talking about Vikings. So kind of explain specifically the premise of Vikings. I love the History Channel, history. I have an undergrad in history. So to explain Vikings, the season of Vikings to us, like the premise of the show.
I'm a huge history nerd myself, so being on something like this has been a dream come true. The premise of the show is basically it's the first time the Vikings have ever ventured west, and it's the beginning of their colonization. I play Bjorn Ironside, who is one of the most famous Vikings ever, and who did exist. His father, Ragnar, who stars in the show, named Travis Fimmel, plays my father. But nobody really knows if Ragnar ever existed. He's more of a legend. So we start by following his life, and as the show continues, and why season four is so exciting, is you kind of gradually see how it all spreads out and how they continue to kind of conquer the world. And, you know, Vikings, I don't know how you felt, but I've always seen them historically as a villain. So I think why people love the show so much is that they've suddenly been humanized, and you see these really cool, spiritual, sexual, really exciting things about their culture that people have yet to be privy to. So it's great, and I'm really happy to be a part of it.
See, that's interesting you talk about. You're right. The Vikings are the villains. That's what everyone said. They're barbarians. But yet they were one of the best world conquerors ever, right, Alexander? They were people that literally were able to take over most of the world at one point in time. And so why do you think that they get that label as villains?
Well, because they did in a lot of ways. You know, they would come and they would rape and pillage, and they did all that for sure. But and obviously the sort of victor goes to spoils, and, you know, history is written by the victors. And at the end of the day, the Vikings, you know, they colonized so many places, but they never continued. There was a point where they died out, and then came a new kind of era. So I'm not surprised that happened. But what's so exciting about it was how progressive their culture was so long ago, in terms of the way they respected their women and what they did. It's very, very cool to finally see something like this and to see it get so much recognition.
And again, the history, you're hoping also that certain people play this in their history classrooms, especially in high school, so the kids can really see truly what the Vikings did, this, the that the show really brings a good idea historically of what they did once they conquered the whole world. So you're hoping that more people become history buffs because of the show.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of been the way it's been going, as people become more and more interested as the show has gained success. And, of course, there are historical liberties that are taken strictly creatively. You know, there's so many stories to be told. So there's ways that our writer, Michael Hirst, who is just a genius, finds ways to intertwine these all these characters and do his best to tell as many stories as he can in as much time as he has. But for the most part, definitely at the start of the season as well, they have been quite accurate.
It definitely seems like, you know, I'm going to put it on my list of things to watch for sure, Alexander. And what would you say is the most challenging thing of filming this role? Is a lot of physical work is involved, just like in The Hunger Games. A lot of the same similarities, isn't it?
Yes, but I would say that the number one challenge we have is the weather. Right now we're filming in the winter in Ireland, which we've never done before because we've never done such a long season, and this season will be 20 episodes. So right now it's brutal. It's some of the harshest conditions I've ever had to work in. But when you see it translate to screen, it's all worth it.
You can't wait till you're in L.A. again, right? After going in the cold environment.
No idea.
Are you used to that cold,
yeah,
out there?
Yeah, and then I'm back to the sun.
Are you used to that cold? Are you used to being in the cold growing up and stuff?
Well, yeah. I'm from Vancouver, Canada, so I am obviously used to the cold. And we filmed the beginning of this episode, this season, in northern Canada, where we had a bear fight that I had with a bear. So, like, I'm definitely used to the cold, but it's also really wet, so it really gets into your bones.
Okay, best place we can find information on you again. Vikings will be on Thursday, February 18th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Vikings returns for season 4, and also information we can find information on you, Alexander. Where can we go?
Well, I'm on Twitter, Alexander Ludwig.
Perfect. And people can check out history's information on the history. And thanks for calling, Alexander. Best of luck with filming and the show, and continued success.
Thank you so much, dude. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care, Alexander. Thanks for calling. All right, bye-bye. You're listening to The Total Celebrity Show. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Total Celebrity Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can check me on Twitter, @TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google+, and also on Periscope, @TotalTutor. And I'm really interested in this story. I'm really excited to welcome the program from Lifetime TV's Little Women of L.A., star Tara Jolay. Tara, thanks for calling. How are you?
Hi, good. I'm so glad that you're having me on your show.
I'm excited to talk to you. I mean, it's just like I do these phoners sometimes, Tara, and I only get 7 or 8 minutes with the top celebs. And I'm like, if I can get somebody for a long period of time to tell about the show and how the success of the show, I bet you that's the first question I want to ask. It's when you first got signed up for this, did you think it was going to be as successful that it is when you first started?
Honestly, I didn't know what to expect. Like, I felt in my heart that it was going to be successful, but I have to say that I kept my hopes down because I didn't want to be disappointed.
Like,
I mean, if anybody
shows them, yeah. I was going to
say, if anybody had ever
reality
experienced
shows
my...
that go out there, and then before you know it, it's one season and out, you know, and doesn't even last maybe 3 or 4 episodes. So you really have lived on. And so that's the surprise. You were hoping it would happen, but you had no idea, right?
I was hoping it would happen, but I honestly had no idea. And I felt like at the time, if my group of friends was unique and very outspoken, and I mean, we're all different. And I felt like if I can tell people stories about the things that happen in our lives and they're as amazed as I am, then why not share it with the world? And lo and behold, it's become a television show.
So tell me the story of how basically you were approached to do this.
This all started a few years ago, and it honestly, I mean, we really are true friends. Like, the group coming into this, the only one that none of us really knew was Elena, and I knew that having her be a part of it was vital because she's beautiful, and I thought that would be a super key, even if her personality was a dud. Then I really felt like we would still make it work. And lo and behold, she's not a dud. And then it just came about where a production company was looking for the same thing that I was hoping. And we joined forces and it took off from there. And then Lifetime is being such a great supporter in this whole process. And it's branched out. And there's now Little Women New York, Little Women Atlanta, and Tara's Little Family, all from this one original Little Women LA show.
Yeah, I remember watching at the beginning this, and then I'm going to have to go back to this. And I think that what captured my interest the first season was we all know the other Little People shows that are out there on a competing network. We're not going to talk about that at all. But we just saw more of a family life thing and less of what happens before this. What happens before
right.
family? What happens when friends get together in L.A.? And I think that's what brought the first success of the show is this is so different than the other Little People shows on other networks.
Right. I mean, we still incorporate family. I think that that's a big part of the heart of the show. But it really goes into real-life friendships and what our friends go through and how you support one another as a little person, which is very different than what you get in your home life. And I really value that kind of energy on the show because we are crazy.
Oh, you are crazy. But remember, it was less family at first, and it led to because you guys grew as friends throughout that time. That's what I was saying. And that's what Captain
Oh, definitely.
L.A., all the men in L.A., what do you expect? There's going to be some craziness and chaos in L.A. And L.A. is a lot different, Tara, than some of these other places, right? What makes L.A. You pretty much don't get a second look sometimes in L.A., or if you walk down mainstream America, that would not be the case, right?
No, most definitely, especially in cities where there's a lot of filming, like Burbank or in the Valley. I mean, you're in a place where it's not hugely populated with little people, but it's not uncommon to see a little person on the street. And when you're going to Middle America, that experience is totally different. Or even down south, that experience is totally different. I mean,
yes.
It's crazy to me that even on a day-to-day basis, some parts of L.A., people have never in their life seen a little person. And it's not necessarily a fetish. It's nothing. It's just people are stunned by things that they're not familiar with. And they find a fascination with things that they've never seen before, which I think is normal for any human being. I mean, if your first time that a child sees another person in a wheelchair is going to bring up some questions. And I think Little People do the exact same thing for your everyday Joe Schmo.
Oh, I think so. And people misunderstand it. So that's another reason why you did the show. You want to kind of bring more information to people about Little People, right?
Right. I think that the show, one of my favorite parts about this show is that it really shows our daily struggles and how we don't let it really affect us. But we're living in an average size world, and yet we're like 2 feet shorter than your average person. So it really definitely defines what we go through, but in this world that maybe you didn't think about it wouldn't have come to your mind that we need a pedal extension, an example, or something minimal that you wouldn't necessarily have thought about, but it's a different struggle for us.
It's definitely a different struggle, and I am 6'10" myself, so I have a different struggle
6'10"?
In my life growing up being so. Yeah, I'm 6'10" and a former professional wrestler, so I know,
wow.
know how. And growing up in that, where I get the double takes and second looks, and I learned to ignore it, learn to just go with it. And my wife, who's 5 foot, sees it and says, "Oh my gosh, Neil, how do you just ignore the looks and the stares all the time?" And I said, "No, I grew up just that way. I know how I am, and I'm
right.
comfortable in my skin, and that's it." But for you, now that you have to do the same thing. Growing up in school, was that hard? Because again, we talk about the hard times now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I really feel like a similar situation. Like, I feel like the people that are in our circle are more affected by it, and we've almost become conditioned to it. So whether you're extremely tall, extremely short, overweight, I mean, you do get the stares, you do get different looks, but you're almost conditioned to it and you are very familiar with it, so you don't let it bother you. Or at least I feel like being normal, I don't let it bother me. Like, that's my version of normal. If I let it bother me, then I feel like they're getting the upper hand. And so I really try and just brush it off. But the people in your environment, to me, is that's the most like interesting thing, is how much they realize that other people are staring at you, and that other people are like watching your every move, so to speak. It's interesting. But I really like growing up. It's interesting because I grew up in a family of both little people and average. My mom adopted my brother after having me, and every average sized person, like even you at 6'10", you carry
yeah.
a gene to have a little person. You have a possibility. It's 1 in 30.
Oh, wow.
So, uncle is 6'7", not 6'10", and my other uncle is 6'4". I come from a very tall family. My mom is 5'10". She's much shorter, but she's still tall for a woman. And so I come from a very tall family, and then lo and behold, there's me. and so I just feel that, like, you just never know what you're going to get, and
you
just got to be grateful for it. And I feel like that's the way that my mom raised me. And no matter what we were going through in school, the hardships, the being made fun of, you just got to brush it off your shoulder. You know, it's crazy. Okay. I'm just going to break it down.
Okay.
The craziest part was that the teachers growing up, especially because, there weren't shows out there that enlightened people when I was going to school. I'm not saying I'm ancient, but this is, in the 80s and the 90s.
Exactly.
There weren't these shows. And the teachers had bigger issues with my height than the students did.
Really?
And I felt like that to be very hard on me, because my friends totally accepted me, but yet the teachers were like, "Oh, I don't think you can do this activity because of your height," or "I don't think you should join this group because of your height." And that was really the hardest part for me growing up.
And tell, where did you grow up? What area?
I grew up in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
And so it's a very populated city, and I think it's like eighth largest in the nation right now. But I originally went to a private school, put their name on blast, but they would not let me participate in the talent show because they believed that children would make fun of me. And so my mom and dad literally took me out of private school that next year. And it was a weird ongoing thing, but it was more of a discrimination with the teachers than it was with the children. Anyways, but I really don't think that that's the case anymore. I feel like these shows, is what I'm so grateful for. These shows have kind of opened up people's eyes, or at least
they
have.
Yeah. I think they have, and especially now we call them little people. And from the professional wrestling business, we call them differently, Tara. And I wouldn't do that to you and say anything like that. But when
right.
I was on radio.
Did
show,
you ever
I mean,
toss a little person?
Yeah, I never tossed a little person, but I called them something different, which I know is not
okay,
right.
Okay, I'm just joking.
They're not, though, but I think they did a spot with me or something where we were doing something where I'm the big giant and they made a fool of me. So I can't remember when it was. Isn't that awful? And I guess I was on shows with them. For sure.
You're all making a job, and that's the way that I really look at that. It's like they picked that job, and if they're not embarrassed to buy it, then why should anybody else be?
Especially if you know you're going to work as an actor, you have a better chance.
Exactly.
When they're looking for little people than those the possibilities, and when you're something different. So growing up, Tara, you go through school, you go through these certain things. Your parents, you said, certain heights. So that's interesting to say, with my wife being 5 foot and me 6'10", there's a possibility. We've had 5 kids. I don't know if we're going to have any more, but we still have the opportunity to have more. But it's a very weird story. I have two that are really tall. They're going to be pretty tall. I got one medium size and two that are small. Not little like two, but are little compared to me. They're going
to
be
closer to the 5 foot circuit.
5'9", 5'8", 5'7", for a boy, and probably 5'3", 5'2", for a girl, or 5'1".
Wow.
So my one girl could be 6'1", while my son could be 6'6", or 6'7". So then they're like 18 months apart. So I think you absolutely have hit the nail on the head that people just think, oh, little people have little parents. And they've kind of changed that, but this is what this show has done, and shows like your show have done it. They finally are bringing light to this. Now, Tara, what I saw from the episode I did watch when I first watched it, I think we watched one or two, and like I said, I was so into television, but now things have gotten so busy in my life as an entrepreneur and my wife and 5 kids, and we DVR our favorite shows, and we have them on a list and stuff, and we're definitely going to have to check you out again. It was chaotic because all you guys were in the dating scene at that time for the first year. So take us back. Take me into basically what I missed after watching those first couple episodes with the dating and all that stuff and the parties. How have things developed in the show?
I think that everybody in our cast specifically is very less party, more family oriented. And
okay,
I think a lot of people have been focused on becoming mothers. Most of us are in our mid 30s or early, late 20s.
Okay.
And I think that has made us focus on, you know, where do we want our families to be and where do we want our lives to be? And that definitely reflects in the seasons from season to season. And now, which you'll find out in this season that's currently airing on Wednesday nights. It's almost like a a baby race. Every girl is interested in getting pregnant and is hoping that they'll be the next to be pregnant. And you will see a pregnancy, possibly more than one pregnancy this season.
Oh, my. So you guys, how many were married at the beginning of the show to now? When it first came out, Little Women of LA.
When the show first came out, there were, Elena has been married. She still is married, and that is it, to my knowledge. I had lived with my boyfriend for 8 years, so we were technically, in my opinion, we were married. But now we're married, and every girl actually is married. Jasmine's new to the cast, and Tracy left the cast, but Tracy's married. She was going through marriage through her engagement process the first season. There's no single people except for Tanya. Tanya is still single, and if you know of a good dude, there's a possibility maybe things work out with Kerwin, maybe things don't.
We'll find all
single,
that out in the episode. Yes, absolutely.
Ready
and,
to mingle. Exactly.
And Wednesday nights, I would know this because I do these radio tours all the time, but again, when I get them booked by somebody else, I'm just like, okay, so it's Wednesday nights on Lifetime Television. We're going to continue the conversation, but I want to just promote for people to tune in. What time is it on Eastern time?
9/8 Central. Yeah, and if you are watching it on the East Coast, we tweet live. Most of the cast tweets live.
Oh, okay.
So feel free to tune in and you can chat with us, ask us questions about what's happening and most of the cast will respond.
That's great. This is the thing I see from you, okay? I've interviewed some reality TV stars, and I won't name names, but you're very down to earth. You're very down to earth. You've not allowed the celebrity or the notoriety to get to you, and I'm very impressed by that. I mean, I'm meeting guys, you know, from certain shows and even personally working out with them, and their egos are so large, women and men, that I've, you know, dealt with and interviewed on my show, and I've interviewed very, very huge people to variety. Why are you so down to earth, Tara? That's a surprise. I know. Where does that come from? Is that Texas, or where does that come from that you're so down to earth and there's such needs of conversation?
I mean, I really feel like it's probably my family. Like, we're all human, and no matter if you're a celebrity, if you're the president, you all went through the same process in life. You all went through school. You're no better than anybody else. And so I believe that you should keep it real. And I try and keep it real with everyone. Like, I feel like if there's fans, I want to take photos with them because, you know, I know growing up, I would have loved to meet even a reality star. And I think that is something that people take advantage of or charge money for, which is ridiculous to me. It's like, they are the reason why you are having shows. And so, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me to not be real. And that's the way I try and live my life.
That's how a businessman with no experience politically can run because of reality television. That's where our society has become, that we could do things like that. So that's
I am with you 100%.
Reality,
and that goes for presidents, that goes for governors, that goes for everything.
Exactly. And think about this, Tara, and this is the funniest part of the whole thing, is reality television. You are a bigger star than somebody that won't even give the time of day for 5 minutes on the phone, that maybe has not been in a big film in 7 or 8 years. That's the difference of you owing it to your fans to get out there and talk to people, compared to somebody that's washed up actor in L.A. that really it doesn't want to relate to the people, doesn't want to do anything to help people. It's just this is what their business was, and they're too busy for these things. That's the difference. Reality television show stars reach out and are willing to talk to the people. And that's why you guys continue to have success, because you're real.
Yeah, a lot of times, I mean, I even look to try and interview with different celebrities, and it's always regarding, like, what do you have to offer me? And I feel like if there's no bad intentions and you have nothing but good intentions, then why not be able to reach out to your fans, and why not be able to have a voice? And I think that's, like, vital to keep your brand and to keep the attention to why you became the person that you are alive.
One thing you do, Tara, is you live tweet. Successful reality shows, when they learn the business, I'm sure your first year you probably didn't have that as you got it going now, and they sometimes miss the boat the first season because they didn't get enough people to really promote. You're your own self-promoter. You got to get people to watch the show, and you got to continue to keep them coming back. And
definitely,
you guys have figured this out, because your Lifetime's going to do some promoting, but not enough to keep the interest going forever. But if you're connecting your fans, you're providing feedback, you're letting them into your lives even more than just the show, except comes.
Yeah, it's been a definite roller coaster, but I really feel like you're not going to get anywhere unless you push yourself, and this has been really the result of that, and I'm very grateful for that.
Okay, from the success, now you walk down the street, you're not just getting recognized as a little person, you're getting recognized as a star on Lifetime. What has happened to you? You added another show to the mix on the network, but what has happened to you, not personally, but like brand-wise? How have you capitalized from the television show for other things and made different types of brand spinoffs and different things that you're trying to develop your brand?
I've actually switched from the craziest thing is becoming a mother. I have really focused on no longer base. I mean, it sounds weird, but I've made booty songs And now I switch from going from booty songs to baby songs.
Okay.
And I'm really proud about that. I mean, I think that that's a part of my growing up. And I'm very much into the child brand, and whether that means interviewing mothers and things like that. They're all developing this next year. And it'll be shown more on Tara's Little Family, as well as my hosting ability is coming to life, which I'm really grateful for, because I feel like that's very something that I'm very passionate about, and something that I feel very confident in, and hopefully that you'll see more of that this season, possibly tuning into more of Little Women Atlanta.
Oh, wow. And see, I didn't even know about the other shows. Again, I'm like under a rock, Tara. You have to inform me, but I find these things out. And I can't believe how many
people.
Exactly.
We're national. It's official.
Yeah, but you've always been. And so that you're doing that stuff. That's fantastic. And you have your website. And that, what do you provide differently in your website than if people Google you and things like that? What kind of stuff can people connect with you once they go to your website? TaraJolay.com.
My website is actually, it's going under pretty soon to be like with all of these changes. But right now, I would say to get the most updates from me, checking out Instagram, checking out Twitter, and that is my most updated. Of course, that's like on a minute by minute basis almost update of my life, which is great.
Fantastic. So what do you hope to accomplish? Do you think you're going to go into acting at one point in time or continue to try to use the LA status with the show and keep the show going, but doing some acting as well and some other stuff and maybe even produce some other shows down the line? What is your hope and dreams of your constant growth in the entertainment world?
I'm hoping to build my baby brand, and that will be explored on the shows, as well as building my hosting ability. And that's what I really hope get into with the shows. I know that there's only so long that each show has a life. And so
yes.
I feel like it'll play out in the way that it should. And then all I can do is hope that, you know, the next step will be the right step. I started in this industry acting. I was doing shows like, my baby's crying, doing shows like Jackass 3. I did lots of different small parts in movies and CSI Las Vegas. I've done tons of different acting jobs, but now I really feel like I want to focus on the celebrities. I want to go on the other side and host and be that voice.
Well, you have that opportunity, and that's great because you're you're really interested in learning about other people. I see that as very interesting, and to have a little person as a host of a big show or a major show would be a fantastic thing. So keep those goals going, but continue to live off of your platform, which is an unbelievable platform. And by the way, I can't hear your baby screaming at all, so that's a good thing. So
that's good.
That's what's good about our phones. They block out noises. So
I love it.
I'm not hearing that. So that's so don't worry. It's just hard for you to concentrate. But I understand with five kids, Tara. That's what happens
yes,
to
five
me.
Five children. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
how far
exactly.
Are they apart in age?
Oh, my gosh. My oldest is 11, and my youngest is 2. So, yes, it's an interesting
wow.
So it goes 11, 7, 5, 3 and 2. So it's an interesting
wow.
Crew. 3 girls first, then 2 boys. So we have a crazy life. And my wife is still teaching. I'm telling you, I wanted my own reality show. I've said that before. I want to have one. I think it would be a very interesting show to go in the lives of a working woman who literally has 5 kids and is still teaching kindergarten. I find that is something fascinating that makes her a superwoman because I could not do that. And putting up with me as an entrepreneur where I'm going everywhere and any place and anything and trying to do anything to survive. So there you go with the story. And then the former professional wrestling into the mix and the radio show and television show and all the different things I'm developing, I would find that awesome. So we'll see what happens. You never know. These opportunities come your way. So, again, best place is connect with you on all the different social media sites. And so the next couple weeks, episodes, what's coming up the next episode for our listeners out there to know that to stay tuned for this Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern to the show? What episode is that going to be for the show?
Well, every Wednesday there's going to be more. But like I said, there's a pregnancy to be expected. And I think that viewers just need to tune in because we've already announced that somebody's having twins. And I think that that is something that not a lot of people see, little people having twins. So it should be quite an interesting roller coaster for everyone involved.
And I think the last thing you like, Tara, is that the ability now where everything's on demand. So if you miss that time because you're a busy parent or you're busy doing other things, you can catch up on the show on demand. I think that's fantastic, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
That's part of it.
The Lifetime website also offers it as well, which is great. You can watch it immediately on the Lifetime website.
Great. Okay, best place we can connect with you. Give me all your social media sites for people to follow you and find you. Where can they go?
Everything, just look at Tara Jolie, one word, TERRAJOLE. And you can find me on Twitter that way. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. That is my name.
Well, you're fabulous, okay? And I'm
thank
really,
you,
really
Neil.
Enjoyed
it was
talking
such a great
to
interview.
You. I really enjoyed talking with you. I'm gonna put you on the list of things and then and give you some feedback and let me know what's going on with the show and stuff and keep me abreast and I appreciate connecting, and it's such great. I have such a fantastic booker in Joey. And Joey, what Joey does for me is he just sees a show and he reaches out to the person and puts them on. And that's a fantastic thing. So this is a tremendous surprise to have you on the show, and you're the best. So best of luck.
No, I'm really great that I could help out. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, take care, Tara. See ya. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out at Total Tutor on Twitter, Neil S. Haley Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil and Google Plus, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And we're going to have a Grammys discussion today, so I'm excited to welcome correspondent from E! News, Sibley. Sibley, thanks for calling and helping.
Hey.
Hey, Sibley, how are you?
Hey, Neil, what's up?
Nothing much. Okay, so you must have the most fun job, I tell you, getting to interview all these amazing artists and celebrities. Tell me how that feels, especially being a correspondent for E!
You know what? I was letting people know, too. I did music. I still do music, obviously, prior to being a correspondent. So being at the Grammys and just seeing these amazing artists who, day in and day out, this is their life. The tours and the creating process and getting out there and performing and then bringing it to the red carpet, it's awesome. It gives me chills. And yes, I do feel like it's one of the coolest jobs. So thank you so much for recognizing that. It's pretty fun.
Absolutely. And so your music, how long have you been an artist for?
I lived in London for a couple of years, 2009, 2011. I toured out there, worked with Stella McCartney. I did a bunch of stuff with Tao Cruz. You know, I've been doing it since I was 13. I did my first rap.
Wow. Okay. So getting this is just a dream come true to be able to be at the Grammys, to have the opportunity to talk to artists that you probably emulated in your life, have watched and listened to, and to finally hear some of their what some of their secrets are and all this stuff, and getting to have great conversations and see all about it, especially on the red carpet, right?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I've come from actually radio before this, and then Revolt Live I was hosting, which is Puff's channel that was all music. And so it's cool to be able now to have, you know, so much access with E! And get there and see these people on the carpet and have that. Hosting everything live for 2 hours during the pre-telecast for the Grammys.
Wow.
And just seeing the live stream right above the limo drop was something I had never done before. And just seeing the people come on that carpet and being able to be around that, the energy was amazing.
Let's first talk about the red carpet, then we'll get to the awards and the music and all that and what you saw that was
okay.
really interesting. Now, the red carpet, what would you say was notable about the red carpet interviews and stuff? things like that.
You know what? I thought the red carpet was awesome. I thought everyone came out. They really brought, you know, some sleek, toned-down fashion. I was waiting to see someone go a little bit more crazier because it is the Grammys and we have a little bit more leeway. It isn't, you know, the Oscars where we have to wear the gowns. But, again, my favorite last night was Taylor Swift. She did the color blocking, and something about Taylor, she just comes on anywhere. As soon as that camera is there, she has this statuesque beauty about her and this bold presence that you don't look at her as an artist or a female. You look at her as Taylor Swift. She just owns herself, and she looked amazing.
And she looked amazing. And have you had the opportunity to interview her before today?
I actually have not. Yeah. I have not, which is something I'm like, oh, because our live stream was above the limo drop. We were accompanied by Peter Rosenberg of Hot 97, and also Orly, who she's a huge fashion expert. So we were up there, and my co-host Carissa, who's also an E! News correspondent, kind of, you know, overseeing everything. I spoke to LL Cool J, who hosted the awards again for, I believe, the fifth time in a row. Spoke to him a couple days before that, the executive producer of the show, and a lot of other artists. But yet, Taylor Swift has not happened for me yet, so you will definitely get a call from me when that does.
Oh, well, it will. It will. You'll get those big, big interviews for sure. And you did get some big interviews. And what's awesome, especially, is you can go check your go to E's website, Google you anywhere, and see some of the amazing people you talk to at different award ceremonies throughout this award process for sure. And just check it out on E News for sure. Let's kind of go into now the awards. Who are some of the snubs? Because that's a surprise always at times when you expect someone to win and they don't.
Yeah, you know what? There are definitely some snubs, but also I feel like some great categories that were up there. People were nominated twice in a couple of different, you know, respective categories for them. I thought I really wanted to see, you know, D'Angelo get a little bit more credit because it was such a solid album, but again, the committee's going off of who they know, who they like, and different things like that. I thought beyond snubs, I think Kendrick Lamar was so excited for him. I think it was such a huge night. And Taylor breaking records, I think those two really just stood out to me as far as anything besides snubs or anything like that. I think those two were just majors for me.
How is Taylor able every year to be one of the best artists? How do you continue to bring it every year so far in such a rise, a tremendous rise, and then she does not look like she's falling anytime soon?
I mean, I think it just comes from even her speech last night winning, you know, once she got Album of the Year, you know, noting Kanye West in there and speaking on it. Taylor just goes, and she's so eloquent, and she knows how to use her words. And then also with her music, I mean, having Max Martin, having such a dream team, and having her, I mean, she's Taylor in herself can write. She's an amazing writer, but she holds her own with those, you know, those big dogs, and she can just put together something that's fun, but also that people are going to pay attention to, and you are going to hum it no matter where you're at. And it comes on the radio, you turn it up, doesn't matter who you are, Taylor Swift is someone that you like and enjoy.
And you're not getting any bad background. A lot of times artists lose their steam once they have an episode or something that happens to them in their careers publicly that changes or something that they said. Taylor's not like that. Taylor's very professional. Taylor knows how to handle herself in interviews and her brand, and she really focuses a lot on her brand to keep her fans engaged and stay with them. And that's probably one of the reasons of staying on top as well, because it's not always the best talent that stays. She is, but
exactly. You
ultimately got to play a lot more than that. It's not just, okay, I have great music. You turn off your fans, you're in trouble, and then the album.
Exactly. I mean, I think she also speaks to young women who are aspiring and needing someone to look up to like that. You know, in a world of social media where we're all engulfed in it, which is an amazing thing, but also kind of can backfire, you know, for young women seeing things that they want to be. And Taylor really holds the torch, I believe, and she knows how to speak, like you said, and she knows how to just be herself and be out there and be amazing, just like the Bad Blood video, which won last night, Joseph Kahn's directing of that. It just shows she has all these women around her, and it's not a jealousy thing. It's not an issue. She wants to make everyone her friend. And it's not in a fake way, I feel like. I feel like she really just wants to, like, have this dominant female force for women to look up to.
All right, last big thing, especially, what was your favorite performance of the night?
My favorite performance, which also left me wanting more, Lady Gaga. the David yes. Bowie tribute. I definitely would have loved to see some more outfit changes and just some more of Gaga channeling Bowie. I think she's turned herself into this amazing artist. She's growing so much, and I think she was the perfect person to do that tribute. So I definitely would have loved to see a lot more of that, and I think that was one of my faves.
It was definitely mine as well, because, I mean, the talent that she has. Look at the fact is that now she's not just an artist in music. She's an artist in other things as well. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, Tilter.net, for more information. Twitter, Tilter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, and all the other places at Total Tutor. And I'm excited to welcome the program former Survivor champion and NBC's Biggest Loser contestant, Richard Hatch. Richard, thanks for calling. How are you?
Hey, I'm well, Neil. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Richard. And NBC's The Biggest Loser. You're a contestant. Tell us the journey of why you decided to be a contestant.
Oh, why did I decide? I got fat. I didn't decide, actually. They called me and hemmed and hawed, trying to be polite, trying to ask me whether or not I'd be interested. I'm like, listen, yeah, I'm obese. I'm in. Let's do it. I was thrilled for the opportunity.
So, yeah, it's interesting. And so, because you said, you know, you have to do this because of suffering from high blood pressure and high cholesterol, and always struggling with your weight, you said, this is just something I have to do, and it has to be done now. And what an opportunity on a platform to work with such great trainers and to be isolated in a lot of ways to get out there and finally do this, right?
Absolutely. There are some incredible professionals behind this show, and you're right. I have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and prediabetes. And so being on medication for all three of those things at 54 years old wasn't something I wanted to be the end of the road. You know, I wanted to write a different ending to this story.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do is write a different ending, and we'll find out once the season finally progresses through. But tell us what we're going to be watching tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central Time tonight. What's the episode's premise this week?
Well, I think you're watching the same thing. You're watching a bunch of fat people really, really working hard trying to get that weight off. But tonight's episode should be fun. There's an eating challenge in which we have to choose a prize if we win the challenge. And the prize is either to give up the gym for the entire week and have phone calls to your loved ones and this technology connection, or
yes.
Eat the gym and the other team wouldn't get the gym. So it's an interesting twist.
And tell me, Richard, how difficult it is to be away from family versus why this is such a twist that they've been throwing out these different types of scenarios. How difficult is it to be away from your family for such a long period of time on the show?
Well, if you picture being stressed in any way, in normal ways, you know, the people that your loved ones, the people in your life are who you look to for support or who you want to be with. They're the people you've connected with and with whom you're living a life. And so if you're obese and you're really struggling, you're working hard, you're giving it more than you've ever given it before, and you're trying to take weight off, and you haven't talked with your family in weeks, and it becomes very, very important, tempting, let's say, to take that prize. And that's part of this season, is the temptations. Biggest Loser.
Because you're going to get these temptations, Richard, when you come on back, get back home. It's such a great atmosphere to be with people trying to lose weight and have the greatest professionals. But once you get home, those temptations are coming. So I guess what the trainers are seeing and also the host is saying, you know what, I know what these guys are going to go through in the number of years the Biggest Loser's been on. And we have to throw these twists at them right now, because once they get home, it's going to be craziness. the temptations, but just especially yourself as a celebrity and all the different things you do and how you could be tempted. It's definitely a good thing to throw these at people right now to see if they can stay the course.
It's true. While they're different from some of the things we'll face at home, the excuses, the time crunch, the temptations, as you call them, they'll always be there. So learning to manage this goal of lifelong fitness in the midst of temptations is a good thing, I believe.
Well, I definitely agree with you. It's something that you have to learn to deal with, learn all those different things. So I know you can't tell us much more that's going on except this week, but in a lot of ways, Richard, are you the same type of competitor that's as you were in Survivor in a lot of ways so far? And for our listeners that have not tuned into the show yet with you on it, are you as competitive as you were in the days of Survivor, or are you kind of laid back a little bit?
Oh, I would never consider myself laid back. That's just really not part of my personality. Although I've got to say this show is different because no matter how competitive any of us is with one another, the biggest part of this competition is internal. I mean, you're competing with the emotional, mental health issues that have brought you to this place, and you're competing with yourself week after week to see if you can best the last week's weight loss. So it's really not as cutthroat, as clearly competitive
right.
with others as the other shows were.
Especially you're talking about even the Celebrity Apprentice, that's cutthroat as can be as well. And Richard, I think a lot of times you have some empathy towards people, don't you, Richard?
Correct. Yeah, and I'm believe it or not, I'm a pretty empathetic person, and I'm looking to support those folks around me, while at the same time, you know, my competitive nature is I'm going to give this everything I have for myself and my family. So it's an interesting dynamic, and I think it plays out nicely.
All right, best place to find information on you. Do we have a Twitter, Facebook, places to connect with you, Richard? Where's the best place?
Oh, I'm on all of them. At Hatch Richard, I think, is the Twitter handle, and then Rich Hatch, Facebook. Pretty easily accessible.
All right, so 9 p.m. Eastern tonight. Tune in to watch Richard continue to go after another title and drop the weight. So, Richard, thanks for calling, and best of luck to you.
Thank you, Neil. Have a great day.
You too, Richard. Okay, bye-bye. All right, that's Total Celebrity Show. We'll be live at 8:40. Today, we do have our guest on the line now, so I'm excited to welcome the program, J.C. McKenzie from HBO's Vinyl. J.C., thanks for calling, and how are you?
Hey, man, nice to talk to you.
Absolutely,
I'm good.
J.C.
I broke my toe last night in the hotel room, but so I'm recovering from that. I literally stepped over my suitcase and broke it, so... that's a pathetic story, I know, but that you asked me what I'm doing.
Yeah, so you broke your phone. I would go crazy. My phone is so old now, it's time to get the new one. I just don't have time. I'm so busy. I need to get the newest iPhone, but I don't know what I could do if I knew that my phone was out of commission, for sure, JC. So let's go right into specifically this project and being asked to be part of Vinyl. Again, it's just an unbelievable executive producers and everything. So tell us about Vinyl now.
Vinyl is a show set in the early 70s about this particular record label called American Century, headed by Bobby Cannavale, who's one of the partners. Ray Romano is the other partner, and I'm the other partner. And it's
okay.
All about music in the early 70s, told through the this record company. And I saw the pilot 2 weeks ago at the Ziegfeld Theater in New York, and it was like, I told Terry, it was like, Terry Winter, our executive producer and writer, I told him it was like being shot out of a cannon while being inside Bobby Cannavale's vein. It was such a wildly exciting ride. It is like, it's a Scorsese film. you know, it's not like a TV series. It's
wow.
So it's really, I'm in. I was telling somebody I normally hate everything I'm in, but this is just so great, man. It is. It's funny. It's violent. And the music is unbelievable. The people that we have involved in the way of musical artists throughout the course of these 10 episodes, everyone from Bowie to, you know, it's just from the Dolls and on and on and on. I don't know what the musical rights, you know, HBO paid for these music rights, but it must be a lot, or maybe with Jagger's connections. Mick Jagger's the other executive producer.
Yeah.
You know, they got a deal, but wow, it's fantastic. It really is. I'm not just saying that, you know, just to promote the show. It's really the best thing I've been in, certainly. So,
well, JC, and that's great. And I guess when you were asked to do this and you auditioned and you knew that the executive producers were Martin Scorsese and Mick Jagger, you had to be like, wow, the talent is going to be in that room. And yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult to get any job, frankly, in Hollywood or, you know, in New York. But, I mean, everyone wants to work. First of all, everyone wants to work for HBO because they hire the tippy top of everything. You've got the best directors, the best writers, and the best actors. And they've assembled this astonishing group for this. You got Bobby, Ray, Olivia Wilde, Juno Temple, Jack Quaid, Paul Ben Victor, and on, and P.J. Byrne, and on and on and on. I mean, these, you know, we read the pilot for HBO 2 years ago, and I had never been in a room where everyone, right from the top, and Bobby, all the way to the guy who's answering the phone or, you know, opening a car door, they're just a great group of actors. And normally you get an a-hole, you know, in the bunch, you know, somewhere to destroy the apple barrel. But not in this case. Everyone is just they're cool people. They're just cool, bunch of cool people who know what they're doing. So it's been a great experience so far.
Chemistry, you said, so there seemed like there was a lot of great chemistry with the cast, for sure. That's what it sounds like.
Definitely.
You told me. Yeah.
As soon as I got on set and we started to rehearse, and the partners do a lot of their stuff together. It's Bobby Cannavale, Ray Romano, P.J. Byrne, Max Casella. As soon as we all got on set and started to play with one another, there was this natural flow. All of us are very specific and different, but we all kind of complemented one another. And I mean, I'm sounding like I'm patting myself on the back. I don't mean to sound like an egomaniac, but there is a chemistry within American Century and the guys that is palpable, and you know, it makes sense. We socialize together, we hang out, so it's all kind of seamless and natural. So it's cool. It's a good group.
Well, it sounds very cool, and I love the fact about 70s music and having a variety of different musics in the 70s. And just to tell you how old I am, I was born in 1973, JC, but again, I grew up with some disco, especially bouncing at this one bar with a disco. And you think about 70s music and all the variety of different ones that were at that time. And we all know the 70s, after the 60s, was an unbelievable ride. And for musicians, any types of musicians going through that time, you're going to expect a lot of interesting entertainment, aren't you? The type of story.
That's exactly what the show deals with. It's this fusion of music that was happening in the 70s with all these artists, these collection of unique artists coming to New York, and the industry itself, and the amount of drugs involved in the industry in order to get music played. And sex used as to grease the wheels, as it were, to get your music on the air. And so it's this kind of perfect fusion, you know, and these guys, they lived and breathed this stuff, Jagger and Scorsese. So they know what they're doing. So there's not really a false move that I've seen anywhere. I've only seen the pilot, and we've shot 10 episodes where we're in the middle of, season one and season two right now, but the pilot is just wildly good.
And then how does HBO work on this after, if you don't have HBO, basically it goes on Netflix at a certain point in time, or how does that work? Again, you're catching me up with major cable. I have cable, but not that. So
HBO has introduced something called HBO on the Go, and it's a nominal fee every month to watch all these great HBO shows. I think it's like $6 or $7 a month. They're following sort of the Netflix deal. So, I mean, I'm getting HBO for the first time. I just ordered it a month and a half ago. So that's how you watch the show. It's like...